Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Mark, that was wonderful, my brother. Just wonderful. Good evening. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord. I've prayed extra for those of you that hope to hear the pastor tonight. We're trusting our Lord's grace is sufficient for you even. Matthew chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6. I want to speak on this subject tonight, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. Matthew chapter 6. I want to thank our Lord and our sweet, generous pastor, for the opportunity to preach God's word tonight. Pastor invited me to supply the pulpit this very night and check my day planner and all the rest, and was able to do so. Grateful for the opportunity. It's always good to be with the church family. And then pastor told me who was going to preach that morning. And so you're going to witness firsthand the difference between a shotgun and a pop gun. Pastor said, better you follow him than me. But I'll tell you this. This is my pastor right here. But when I say my pastor from my home church, he used to always say, don't ever worry who precedes you in the pulpit, because you have your own ground to plow. Now, he's the same one who taught me this expression. I never preach too long because I always quit when I'm finished. And I want you to keep that in mind tonight. And then, of course, along the way, I've learned that people who I get to preach to never hear a message that first doesn't preach to me. Now, in our society, it's easy to either live in the past or live in the future. But the Word of God teaches that we are to live in the present. Amen. You see, a lot of us remember the good old days, and the older we get, the better those days are. But you know, memories select. I believe that's a gift of God. We look back at the old days and only remember the best things. Talking with a young healthcare professional, a couple of them, a doctor and a nurse the other day, at the hospital where I get to do my ministry. And they looked at me like I had two heads on my shoulders when I told them my father's reply to my brother and my complaint in the car that we had no air conditioning. Why, they never believed cars were made without air conditioning. And my dad's reply was what your dad's reply was. Fellas, roll down the window, you'll have all the air you please. It's easy in our culture and society to look backwards, isn't it? But then our culture and our society helps us look forward as well. We have to plan for the future. 401ks, IRAs, tax-sheltered annuities, retirement, get the home paid for, buy your last car, get it paid for, get that second home on the lake. What? Jesus had to be laid to rest in a borrowed tomb, and you and I are scrambling for all those goodies. Come on. Living in the future. But our Lord wants us to live in the present. One day at a time. Now, I'm not one that means you don't plan for the future. I just see that as stewardship. We need to be good stewards. But we don't need to live in the future. And if you're here tonight and you're living either in the past or in the future, may I suggest to you, you've got some unfinished business with our Lord who wants you to live in the present, and I invite you to settle that tonight, and in a few minutes we're going to invite you in earnest to settle it during the time of invitation. We'll take then a spiritual evaluation. And I ask right now that you get your heart right, that you buckle your spiritual seatbelt, because you're going to need it buckled. Because the Word of God just rifle shots us. I mean, when He wants to reach us, He knows how to reach us. Isn't that right? He made us. He created us. He knows how to get our attention. In these verses 25 through 34, the Son of God in the passage uses the word worry 6 times in those 9 verses. 6 times. And then in verse 31, He says, "Do not worry." And then in verse 34, our Lord tells us the key to not worrying is to live one day at a time. For He reminds us in that verse that sufficient for today is its own trouble. In other words, this day takes care of itself. Tomorrow, I'll take care of it for you. One day at a time. So I believe God's Word teaches you and me, beloved, to not be anxious about tomorrow, because He will take care of our tomorrows one day at a time. And with that in mind, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, those who are able. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and following. And the Word of God says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, that you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not your life more than food, and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add 1 cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin." Now, what's that remind us of? Remember the song, "Consider the lilies, they don't toil nor spin." Remember that? Verse 29. "And I say to you, even Solomon in all glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Here's one of those key verses. You remember learning about tithing and hearing this? "But seek first the kingdom of God," verse 33 now, "and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore," and here comes again, you getting the idea? "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And may God bless unto us the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed now. Our eyes are closed. Lord, we're thankful for this few moments that we can focus upon Your Word. Lord, we ask You to show up in a big way tonight. Thankful for the wonderful music and prayers. Thankful for the preaching of God's Word. Thankful, Lord, for the filling of the power of the Holy Spirit, which I ask You give to each and every one here this very night. Lord, have Your way with us, won't You? And just for the next few minutes, help us cast our affections on things above, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, as You convict us of the error of our way, help us focus on how merciful that You are, that You choose to remember our sin and iniquity no more. Lord, we're thankful. Because not one of us here, if we think about it, dear Lord, wants what we deserve. Instead, we want your mercy. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. If we're not to live in the past, that means we are to live in the present. And if we're not to live in the future, that means we are to live in the present. So how do we do that? We do that one day at a time. It's interesting to me, the Lord's Supper account recorded for us in the 11th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke 11 and 3 says it this way. I think it may be the only gospel that says it this way. Give us day by day our daily bread. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16 captures it this way. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed. Listen, day by day. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. So friends, the key to living life free of fear, free of anxiety, free of worry, is to live life one day at a time. Now, how do we live one day at a time? Well, the very first thing we do should be right up on the screen. We rejoice in the day God has given you. My friend, Psalm 118 and 24 says it this way. This is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Listen, friends, if God made the day, there's no such thing as a bad day. Isn't that right? 100 years ago, used to date a girl in college. She used to say when the weather was terrible, a good day, but bad weather. She did me a favor, really, by teaching me a lesson. Used to work for a fella in an insurance agency working my way through college who used to say, the weatherman says it's partly cloudy, but hey, fellas, that means it's partly sunny. Now, some of that stuff just helps us with our attitude, sure enough. But if God makes the day and if he orders our steps, then there's no such thing as a bad day. And if you and I are going to live one day at a time, sweet Jesus, the key to living that way is, number one, rejoice in the day that God has given you. But in the second place, we need to praise God and thank him for the presence in his life. By the way, did each of you get one of these yet? Bulletin insert as you walked in the door tonight. My mistake, we couldn't get them to you this morning, but we've got them to you tonight. And tonight's when you needed them. Please take one if you didn't get one. Brother Armitage, hold up your hand. They'll know to get you, okay? Second thing to do, living day by day, praise God and thank him for his presence. Isn't that how the Apostle Paul captured it for us? When he recorded in Galatians 2 and 20, I have, listen, been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, and the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're praising God and thanking him for his presence in our very life. Hebrews 13 and 5 captures it this way. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now listen, if you want to praise the Lord and thank him for the presence, his presence in your life, there's a real good verse upon which to hang your hat, beloved. Our Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. You were feeling forsaken by God. That's not of God. He will never leave you, Mark. He will never forsake you, brother. Stick with the Lord. He sticks with us. His presence in our life. And the best part, of course, is captured still in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. A little further down in verse 8 when he says, Jesus Christ is the same. Listen, yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, friends, is the same today as he's been on any other day and as he will be on any other day. Do you understand that Jesus never a trial that he does not share? Jesus never a burden that he does not bear. Jesus never a sorrow he does not share. Moment by moment, I rest in his care.
Amen.
Jesus. You want to live day by day? Let's give him praise and thank him for his presence in our life. But in the third place, let's do what we don't like to do. Let's surrender our life to God one day at a time. And now listen, this is a daily exercise, beloved. Do you get that? We're to surrender our life to our Lord one day at a time. Well, how do you do that? It's easy to tell me. How do you do that? Well, I'm glad that you asked. Write this down. Psalm 63:1. We seek God early. God, you are my God. Early I will seek you, is how the psalmist said. Now look, if you work second shift like this pastor does at a hospital and work a few evenings a week, my early in the morning might not be your early in the morning. It sure isn't my wife of 32 years early in the morning. She's up before the Lord, and that's tough to do because the word says he never slumbers nor sleeps. But my early in the morning begins about 9 a.m. or 10. But it doesn't matter when it is, just be sure to seek him. You want to live day by day? Surrender one day at a time. And you do that by seeking him early. And then, of course, you do that by offering yourself in a second place as a living sacrifice. That's what it says in Psalm 63:1. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you.
Amen.
Friends, in just a few moments, we're going to take a spiritual evaluation. And you'll be surprised what the Lord reveals to you, what your flesh longs for. But the Word of God says we are to long for the Lord. We can live day by day, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, if we will surrender our life to him one day at a time. Then in the fourth place, we need to choose God's will in every area of our life. Now this is a good one for preachers. I can give good lip service to this. By God's grace, I try to live it. Choosing God's will in every area of our life is how we live day by day. Lord, I want your will in everything I do. But now, you know, there's a piece of my life that I kind of like to hold on to. You understand? Are you like that, maybe? You know, I like to run the show for a while until I run it right off the road in the ditch. And there's our Lord. Watch my hands, not shaking a naughty finger at me. Instead, he's saying, here I am, son. Come right up into my lap. Every aspect of our life. Want to live day by day? Choose God's will in every area of our life. Paul said it this way in the Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then a little bit further down in chapter 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Listen, not to man. You're not working for the man, that guy in the shop who's your boss. You do a good job not because you fear him and hate him. You do a good job because you love the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And the Word of God says, whatever you do, you're doing it unto him, and you better do it heartily. How about it? Do we live one day at a time? Well, how do we? Well, number one, we rejoice in the day the Lord has given us. Number two, we praise God and thank him for his presence. Number three, we surrender our life to God. How do we do that? Seek God early and offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Number four, we choose God's will in every area of our life. And number five, we ask God for his clear direction for our life. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
Yeah.
See, what we need to do is, like the psalmist, say to our Lord, Lord, clearly teach me, won't you? Lord, clearly direct me, won't you? Lord, clearly guide me, won't you? Lord, clearly instruct me, won't you, in the way I should go? And I'll be sensitive to your spirit. See, that's our heart's cry to him. Yes, God, I will keep my eye on you. My friends, understand this. The only way God can guide us with his eye is that we keep our eye on him. Not our mistakes of the past, not our failures, not our circumstance, but instead we keep our eyes on our Christ. Friends, the sixth way we can live day by day. We need to refuse to live in the past. Now, I want to be careful here tonight. I want to be sensitive when I challenge you tonight. But you know what I believe about many of us? Many of us are here tonight nursing, listen, and rehearsing the things that have happened in our past. Can you imagine what it would have been like for the Apostle Paul never to get beyond the things of his life when he was called Saul of Tarsus? Can you imagine what it would have been like for the one who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament? But praise God, he could get past it with God's help. Remember how he said it to the church at Philippi in Philippians 3 and 13? This one thing I do, Paul says, forgetting those things which were behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press, Paul says, towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. My friends, you and I will never live our lives effectively. We'll never live our lives abundantly. We'll never live our lives purposefully until we have the things of the past settled with our Lord. We'll never, ever, ever live the way our Lord wants us to. Settle it. Do your business this very night. Settle it. See, it'll always be a struggle to have a meaningful life until we settle the past. Now, here's the question for us. What is it in your past that you can't get beyond? What is it that keeps calling you back? Is it past hurts? Well, you know, there's only two kinds of hurts. One, the self-afflicted, and ones that are other afflicted on you, okay? And realize Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted and to restore your soul. What is it that keeps you clinging to the past? Your past failures? Listen, every one of us here have gone down paths we wish we had never gone down, have written pages in history that we wish we had never written, and made choices we wish we had never made. But praise God, friends, that's where the forgiveness of God comes into our life. That's where the mercy of God comes into our life. And the Word of God says, your sins and your iniquities, the Lord says, I will choose to remember them no more. So friends, if he won't remember your past, why are you remembering your past? Are you telling me the blood has lost its power? I don't think so. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You can be free from your past tonight. The Lord will help you. And we're talking tonight about how to live one day at a time. We, number one, rejoice in the day God has given us. Number two, we praise God and thank him for his presence in our life. Number three, we surrender our life to God one day at a time. Number four, we choose God's will in every area of our life. Number five, we ask God for his clear direction for our life. I didn't miss that before, did I? If I did, that's number five. Ask God for clear direction for your life. Number six, refuse to live in the past. But here's the next one now, and the final one. we need to refuse to live in the future as well. See, some of us can't live for Jesus today because we're so consumed about tomorrow. How does our text say in the 34th verse? You haven't closed your Bible yet, have you? Matthew 6 and 34, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient the day is its own trouble." Hey, the Lord will take care of tomorrow. That's where the faith piece comes in. What are you anxious about in your future, after all? What is it, really? Is it finances? Is it job security? Is it your kids? Is it your grandkids? What are you anxious about as it relates to the future? Is it your health? Listen, there's a difference, beloved, in being worried and concerned. Worry is a dead-end street, and it leads to nowhere. Concern leads you to prayer. And you know, when the Word of God says, the Apostle Paul challenges us to pray without ceasing, guess what? That takes every worry and moves it to the concern list. What are you worried about? Pray about it. Make it a concern. Worry is a dead-end street that leads to nowhere. Well, those are seven things I thought might help you, beloved. I'm glad you put up with a messenger to hear God's message, and I appreciate that. But I am convinced that not only are those ways to live one day at a time, sweet Jesus, but the other way is to just get confessed up before our Lord. I mean, just stay confessed up. Augustine once said, "The confession of bad works is the beginning of good works." Christians are not perfect. We still sin and make mistakes. We still fail. But the key to the power and joy in the Christian life is to listen, keep short accounts of our sins. In other words, we must confess and deal with our sins as quickly as possible without allowing them to pile up. Now listen, I'm talking now to the one who is so prideful you can't even see your sin.
Bless him.
The Word of God says keep short accounts.
Yeah.
I'm talking now to the one who is oblivious to those who he or she live with. I'm talking now to the one who feels like they have it all together when they have nothing together. I'm talking to the one, listen, who is an idolater because you worry. Worry is a sin. How is it idolatry? It's because you're putting yourself between the worry and the Lord and saying you can handle it, and the way you can handle it is to worry. Anything that comes between you and the Lord is idolatry. I'm talking now to the one that has the eye disease, and I don't mean EYE. I'm talking to the one who's crossed over, lived long enough to start having the entitlement mentality. I've done my part. It's my turn to do and fill in the blank. Friends, if you really desire to have God's best in your life, you'll start with a spiritual house cleaning this very night. A spiritual evaluation is to help us examine important areas of our life. And I'm not exempt. Let me tell you, I'm not exempt. A spiritual evaluation is a personal matter. So you answer these things to yourself. And if you want to write them down, you write them down. But don't show it to anybody. Now listen, I'm talking about your favorite sin, the one that you are trapped by in bondage to, the one that only you and the Lord know. That sin. Because I hesitate to make a list, but there are certain things that absolutely prevent God from working effectively in our lives, that keeps us from living one day at a time. I've given you the recipe and the blueprint. I believe it's of God, how to live one day at a time. But this is the next step in how to live one day at a time. So listen carefully. How about your relationship to others? Have you been holding a grudge against anyone? Have you been unforgiving and seeking revenge? Have you been jealous of someone else, harboring bitterness? Are you unwilling to forget a misunderstanding? Are you hateful? Do you avoid people you dislike but who need your love? Are you critical or judging of others? Do you justify your bad attitude by saying it is their fault? Do you gossip? The Word of God reminds us in Matthew 6, 12 through 14, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But not just relationships. What about the priorities in your life? Is there any area of your life where you've failed to put God first? Ambition? Pleasures? Your job? Money? Your own plans, habits, friendships? Your personal goals? Do you find you don't have time for God? Do you find you don't have time for prayer? Do you find that you don't have time for Bible reading? Is there anything that you would be unwilling to give up if God asked you to? Matthew 6 and 33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you." But not just your relationship with others and your priorities in life. What about your attitude? Do you complain and whine about your circumstances? Are you ungrateful? Are you irritable or cranky, always speaking negatively? Do you get angry easily and blow up at people? Are you ever harsh or unkind, unteachable or sarcastic, put others down? Do you find yourself, listen, worrying about things God wants you to trust Him with? Are you fearful? Are you anxious? Are you impatient? Ephesians 4 and 31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." What about your integrity? Is it intact? Are you honest in all your dealings? Do you find it easy to lie? Do you exaggerate to make yourself look better? Do you leave a better impression of yourself than is true? Do you cheat? Do you have false humility? Have you stolen things? Do you do good things with mixed motives? How about this? Do you pretend to live one way in front of your Christian friends and another way at home or at work? Colossians 3 and 9 says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices." Now the next one is our mind. Now I don't know about you so far, but there's a piece of every one of those I've read so far that fits me. How about you? Would you dare to be honest before God and man tonight? Have you failed to guard your mind from unhealthy, unchristian input? Have you filled your mind with hurtful movies, television programs, magazines, unclean books, internet? Do you participate in entertainment that causes you to have impure thoughts? Do you fail to concentrate on positive truth from the Bible? Are you lazy in memorizing Scripture? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, His perfect will for your life." What about money and possessions? Have you failed to dedicate all your possessions to the Lord? Are you stingy in sharing with others? Do you love money? Have you made excuses not for giving God the 10% tithe that belongs to Him? Do you trust God with your finances? Are you generous or are you selfish? Acts 20 and 35 says it this way, beloved. "In everything I did, I showed you that His kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive." What about your body? Are you in any way careless with your body or health? Is there any activity or habit that is harmful to you? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." What about walking by faith? Are you dependable? Do you allow your emotions to be inspired for the Lord, but then do nothing about it? Do you know what's right even when you don't feel like it? Do you do what's right even when you don't feel like it? Are you discouraged? Do you have to be coaxed like a baby to be consistent? Have you been stubborn? 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, "We live by faith, not by sight." What about your church? Are you faithful to your church? Do you share in the responsibilities? Do you pray for your church? Have you been critical instead of helpful? Hebrews 10 and 25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching." What about your family? Are you unkind to those you live with? Do you pray for them? Do you need to ask forgiveness from a family member? Have you shared Christ with your relatives? Or have you kept silent? Joshua 24 and 15 is your reference. "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." What about your pride? Do you only accept your own ideas? Do you put down others? Do you forget and leave God's work out of your accomplishments? Do you take credit that belongs to God? Do you do things your own way? Do you boast about yourself? Are you a braggart? Are you arrogant? Are you unteachable? Do you see a man, Proverbs 26 and 12, wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Now, Matt, if you'll make your way to the piano and begin playing, here's what we're going to ask you to do tonight. At the end of a Southern Baptist worship service, there's always a threefold invitation. First, to Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and don't know the Lord but want to get saved, you come. Does walking the aisle of a Baptist church save our soul? No. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that word believe just comes with everything that comes with that is repentance and confession. We turn from how we're doing things, and to the best of our ability, we turn to the things of God. Still, you may be saved, but you've been walking at a guilty distance. Almost everything on the evaluation identified you in some aspect of your life. Boy, I'm in that camp. You need to come for rededication. As you reflect upon the things of the Lord this very night through this evaluation, let that reflection lead to a time of rededication. Still, you might be here tonight and you want to make this your church home. That we serve a great Savior and our Lord has given us a great pastor. So you come and make this your church home. What are you waiting for? Bless your heart. Don't you realize God is tapping you for this moment right now? But now, if you are able to, I want you in just a moment to raise your hand. And if you raise your hand, you're going to tell me and God and everybody in the house tonight that none of what God's Word said in this spiritual evaluation applied to you. Raise your hand if none of it applied to you. All right, the invitation is now to get right with the Lord. Here's the altar. Matt will play. Don't delay. God will meet you here. The angels will attend you. Let the Lord have His way with you this very night. You don't have to make it public. Just make your act of profession public in the sight of God. You come. And there's good news when you do. For if we confess our sin, our Lord is faithful and righteous, to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come now, beloved, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Don't delay now. As the Lord speaks to you, you come.